Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Well, Cecilia, we have quite a topic to continue with, heaven and hell.
Yes, we do. And I've been thinking about that. Why is it, do you think, that people are always saying things like, "Ah, damn it to hell," or "This day's going to hell in a handbasket," or "Oh, the hell with it"?
Well, they say those things because they're mad or angry.
Yes.
And your point being?
Well, they never say those things about heaven when they're happy.
Oh, send it to heaven.
Yeah.
Or to heaven with it. Yay.
Yes. Or
that is interesting.
Or, "Oh, this day is going to heaven in a gift basket."
Well, I pray that this Bible study goes to our listeners.
In a gift basket?
Yeah.
I like
that
idea.
So let's go into room 4216 and let's get going.
I want to know, if God is supposed to be so loving and so merciful and so compassionate, how could there even be a hell? I mean, how could God condemn anyone to eternal torture? That's not supposed to be who God is. And yet, if all that we say about hell is true, then he's worse than Hitler.
Well, I have two short answers for you and then a longer answer. The first of the two short is, how much of the Bible are you going to hold as true? The Bible talks about heaven and hell and that God will punish those who do not believe in him. If we're going to accept the Bible as his word, then we have to accept that. If you don't accept the Bible truly as completely as God's word, well, then comes the question, what are you going to pick and choose?
Well, maybe we don't understand the Bible's meaning or something.
No, it's clear again and again and again that there is a heaven and there is a hell. It's kind of like this. When my kids were growing up, I'd say, "Tori, if you do that again, you're going to get punished." Oh, I remember one time when she was picked up some swearing words from her babysitter.
Uh-oh.
And I said, "Tori, if you do that again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap." And she stopped for a little bit. Now, if I didn't stop her, or if I didn't punish her, she'd probably still be swearing today. But she did it again, so I picked her up, put her over my shoulder. She's only 4 years old. Mm-hmm. All the way to the bathroom. "No, Daddy, no!" And I washed her mouth out with soap. And she didn't swear in front of me for 20-some years. I did hear her swear once, and she went, "Oops!" I was in the car with her. But she caught it. If God, part of learning to do right and wrong is discipline. And there finally comes a point where, you know, you say, you keep doing it, I'm going to punish you. And if you never punish them, pretty soon people will think, they don't mean what they're going to say anyway, so I'm just going to go on and do what I want.
No boundaries,
exactly. And so, in effect, God is saying, "Okay, I'll give you what you want."
Give us what we want?
Sure, because when we sinned, we said, "We don't want you, God. We want to be our own gods. We'll be in charge. We'll be in control." And God's saying, "Okay, you're in God. You're in control. Ha, ha, ha. Work your way to heaven."
And it can't be done.
So that flows with the number one short answer is, who really is God and the Bible? And no matter which way you work it, whether you accept part of the Bible or not, or go from philosophy, who is God, there's the issue of boundaries and who interprets. And then the second short meaning, which I kind of cut into already, is what is your definition of love? Love has boundaries. Oh, that would be number two, actually. Mm-hmm. Love has boundaries. And otherwise, it's not love. It's just capitulating to what the other person wants. Right. And then the long answer, I'll give a partial. We quoted earlier John 3:16, right?
Sure.
All right. Do 3:17 again.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That verse is saying Jesus came into the world to save it. That means it was already condemned. Because if it's not condemned, it doesn't need a savior. And he didn't come to condemn it because it was already condemned. He came to save it.
Oh.
That means when he came, we were already condemned. We were already in hell. And it isn't a matter of God saying, oh, should I send him to heaven or to hell? We were already in hell. Now, if you want a further understanding and more depth on that, I did a whole podcast of You're Not Alone on that. It's episode 317.
And it's a good one, people.
So listen to number 317. Tragic, really tragic is what it's called. And it'll go into greater depth on John 3:17. In preparation for last week's show and this week's show, you had given a lot of random but good questions about heaven and hell. Why don't we take some of those first?
Okay. Well, I have my two happy boys with me, my cats, Jack and Meldo. Mm-hmm. And I hear your very cheerful bird in the background. So that brings up the question. Will there be animals? In particular, will our pets or our guide dogs that we've loved so much, will they all be in heaven?
Good question. I actually found a Bible verse that alludes to it. Doesn't tell us, but it alludes to it. It's written by Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Solomon wrote, "For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from dust, and to dust they return." What Solomon is saying is those that have breath all die. We all go to the dust. We can almost conclude, though, from the opposite of what this is that because he doesn't say it, it's probable there will be animals in heaven. God is going to be remaking heaven and earth when he makes the new heavens. We have pets and animals here, so why wouldn't we there?
Okay, but, and that's a good answer, but what about my beloved cat, Tori, or Jasmine, or Patches, the three that I had before? Well, they in particular?
We did a show, you reminded me of this, on grief, was it?
Yes.
And what I commented at that point in grief is God knows what we need. We know that heaven is going to be a place where there's no grieving. And if he knows that we truly need these things, he will provide them for us.
Oh.
What are the questions you got there, Cecilia?
Will we know our friends and our family and others in heaven?
And again, there is no clear reference to this in the Bible, except for the verse that launched us off on this discussion of heaven and hell, the rich man who saw Lazarus there in the bosom of Abraham across the chasm, and he said, send Lazarus to
dip his finger in water.
So it seems like there will be recognition of others, but we're not told that absolutely. We don't know for sure, but it's a probable from inferences that yes, we will know our loved ones and have great laughter and fun together.
I praising hope so.
God and how he has saved us and blessed us through so many trials. Yep.
See, I want to meet the listeners that have, that are listening to this Bible study. I want to have a room 4216 where we can actually be together and worship God. And of course, you know, I want to see you again in heaven and give you a big hug and go,
made it. Hooray. We made it. Praise Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
But again, we don't know that for sure, but it's a probable, which, by the way, gives the flip side. What about those who didn't make it to heaven, but are in hell?
Yes.
And they were close to us. Yes. Again, the Bible doesn't really say, but the Bible does say that all sorrow and tears and sadness will be wiped away from our eyes, that heaven will be a place of joy. So those who are in heaven will have great joy. And we don't know if we'll miss them or not, but we do know that it will not impact or affect us that they are not there.
And it's not selfish to think of it that way, being joyful.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I think what God will do, and this is only Dave thinking, that instead of us thinking, oh, so-and-so isn't here, we'll see somebody and go, oh, so-and-so is here. Ain't that cool? Oh, my gosh. God is awesome.
Like, I can't wait to meet Noah. I can't wait to meet Noah and Esther, my Bible heroes. Oh, to be able to talk to them, you know?
Yeah, this is all we really know about heaven. There's great joy and laughter. That's about all I can definitively say on that question.
There just aren't answers to everything.
No. What other random questions do you have there, Cecilia?
This is one that I'm sure a lot of young people think of. Will there be marriage and sex in heaven?
Ah, good question. And I was ready for this one because we wrote it down and I had to do a lot of research. First, C.S. Lewis made a very interesting little phrase when he said marriage and sex in heaven. He said, tell a boy there's no chocolate. To him, that's the highest. To a child, there's got to be chocolate in heaven. So for a young person active in their early life, of course, there's got to be sex in heaven. Well, one thing to point out first, sex is not just an act, but it's who we are. We are sexual beings.
Yes,
male,
we are.
Female. But it isn't just the sexual act. Now, whether the sexual act will be in heaven, we don't know. We simply don't know. My guess would be no, but I don't know that for sure. The other thing that we know about the human bodies, and this might flow into another question you have, is from Matthew chapter 22. Jesus was asked, so this one guy is married and he dies. So she marries his brother and then he dies and then marries another one and all the brothers all the way down the line. Who in the resurrection will she be married to? Because she had seven husbands. Here's what Jesus said in response to that. Verse 30. At the resurrection, people will neither marry or be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. And that's why I indicate that probably there won't be sexual activity in heaven. as we have here on earth. But we are sexual beings, and so we will have that aspect about us.
You are very confusing.
I know.
You're saying we will, or we, no, you're saying we won't, but we're sexual beings, so yeah. Well,
this is, we don't get clear answers on some of these things about heaven and hell. We just simply don't.
Well, oh, I better go get married fast then.
Well,
but then you pointed out earlier, okay, then we better get some chocolate to people in Asia.
In Asia, so they have that wonderful experience or anything like that. It's just, those are one thing experiences that we think of them as the crown of ecstasy here, but it's probably not going to be in heaven. Which leads to another question you asked, and Paul wrote about this. And your question was, what is the perfect body going to be like in heaven?
Still my question.
I know, but it flows right into that.
Yes, it does.
He writes in 1 Corinthians 15:45, he says, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Some bodies are human, some bodies are animals, even stars. And then he goes on in verse 42 to say, so will it be in the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable, but it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but is raised in power.
But that doesn't totally answer the question. What does the perfect body mean? What will I look like in heaven? Will I have lost all the weight that I shouldn't have gained?
And look like you did when you were 21?
No, I was too heavy when I was 21 to some kind of...
We're not told that answer. Science has shown us this, that about age 19, we start to decay and die, believe it or not.
19.
We've reached the climax of our growth, and then we're just maintaining and start to drop bit by bit, which is an amazing thing that God lets us live this long. He stopped the death experience from just happening and slowed it down so we can live many years so that we might be saved.
So will I look like Cecilia?
Yeah, you're Cecilia. So you'll probably be something like you were 19, 20. That's my hunch, but we're not really told for sure.
And then, of course, there's the question.
Mm-hmm.
In heaven, you'll see.
Mm.
But you told me that there's someone that you met that said, I don't want to see in heaven.
Right. Harvey, he said, I don't need to see in heaven. I never had sight and I don't need sight. If God decides to give me sight, okay, but I'm not looking for it. I don't need it, and I don't expect it. He said, I'm just fine the way I am. Do remember that Jesus carried his scars to heaven. They saw him with the marks in his hands, his side. It showed him as the crucified one. So there may be some physical things that we will carry with us, but it does talk about us as having a glorified body. And we know that there's no pain and sorrow. So again, we're not exactly told for sure, but it seems like our bodies will be as they were when we were youthful and great. And whether we have heaven, a sight in heaven for those of us who are blind, I think it kind of depends on the person. That would be my answer. If you want it, sure. If you don't, okay. Well, Cecilia, let's look at a few more of those random questions that we had written down.
All right. I've read some articles and seen some book descriptions and documentaries on near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
People have said that they've gone to heaven and seen their loved ones and their relatives, and some have even said they've seen Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cases, there have been people who have gone to hell and seen some not so pleasant things. Are such experiences real?
My answer is going to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. So they may be real. That's the surprise. They may be real. The Bible doesn't tell us. There's really no evidence in the Bible that says they're real or they're false. What the Bible does tell us is some key things about what heaven is like, but they're mm-hmm. all in using words that we understand to talk about a place we've never been. And so that's the problem of both describing heaven and hell. That's why hell is spoken of as a fire, as a place of darkness. There's several imageries, both with heaven and hell, because we can only say so much. And so are these near-death experiences real? The real challenge is, so what if they are? Are you going to base your understanding on it or on the Bible? If you're going to base your understanding of heaven and hell based on your near-death experience of what you've heard, I'd say that's not a good thing. Because there's no way we can prove it. The same way as if you, Cecilia, had a bowl of spaghetti and meatballs the night before, yum, mm-hmm. yum, and yum. At during the night you had a vision that said, go to Africa and be a missionary.
Okay.
And you woke up and said to me, Dave, you're supposed to go to Africa and be a missionary. And I'd say, what? Hot me? I can't prove that it was about me. Maybe it was you. There's no way to verify any of this. And that's the same thing with a near-death experience. There's no way to verify any of it. And therefore, I'm very cautious and encourage people to be extremely cautious about them. Yes, they may have happened. In fact, there's studies that have shown that people at near death, they kind of float away from their body. But you and I, as people who are blind, can understand that. Oh, my dog button. We can understand these near death because we can visualize a room and see it even though we're not there. We can do that really easily. At least I can.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can smell it. I can
even though we're not there. Mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And that might be what some of these near-death experiences are. We detach from our bodies in a sense, but with our touch and then adding in with past memories, we develop pictures in our mind of what things are.
What about those who say they see a tunnel of light?
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're coming up to this tunnel of light and going through it.
Again, I don't know. Again, science has shown that when people are near death, their vision changes. Also, during sleep, their vision changes, and they might only see a slight thing, and that might appear to be a tunnel of light. Whether it is or not, I don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us.
Two more questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, what are we going to do forever in heaven? I can't picture going on. It's just too big a picture. And second, how are we going to live without problems? Now, it sounds like a strange question, but all our lives are a series of challenges. Mm-hmm. Some are bad and hard. We as blind people and disabled people ought to know. But some are good.
Absolutely. And that's how discoveries are made.
Sure. Or our own accomplishments in life, like learning that new piano or violin piece or whatever.
Practice. You know, okay, you're not going to be happy with me, Cecilia, but I have a very short answer. We don't know. The Bible in Revelation chapter 5 talks about us around the throne of Jesus, worshiping and praising him.
We touched on that earlier.
And certainly some of our time will be that way. Now, there's some say that's all it's going to be, is just around the throne and worshiping and praising. But I don't think so. I don't have a lot of proof about this from the Bible, but I take it from what are we as human beings? We have hands, we have feet.
The body that you talked about earlier.
Exactly. And so I see easily going out for me, mm-hmm. I loved chopping wood and making a fire. I could see heaven being a day where I'm going to go out, chop wood, make a fire, and then sit there with Jesus or some other saints and talk about Jesus and praise. And from what the New Testament tells us, when we do such things today, make a meal or have a bonfire and we're around with friends at night, that can be a broad sense of worship. From Romans 12, it says, therefore, I encourage you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your acceptable worship. So whenever we do things on this side of heaven in faith, they are a form of worship. Now, we know that heaven is all about worshiping Jesus. I can't help but think that that broad sense is going to be in heaven, as well as the narrow sense of being at his throne and praising him. It's a both and.
And what about problems?
And that's part of what human is to invent things and resolve issues. So I think that will be part of it as well. But they're not problems caused by sin, but our lack of understanding to reach a goal. It might be we're all here on Earth and we want to reach another planet. So we're going to develop a way to fly to the other place. But the Bible doesn't tell us. I tend to think, though, that part of humanity is the curiosity and ways to formulate and fix or adjust to things. So that's going to be part of heaven. But more than that, we really don't know.
So we may have the problems and challenges, but we won't feel the frustration and the fear and the anger. That we sometimes face.
Right. That is it. Cecilia, I'm sure we have not covered all of the questions listeners may have on heaven and hell. And there's no way we can do that in just two simple programs. But if you would write us, we'll be happy to entertain further questions on that. And you can write us at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
.net.
N-E-T. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.